faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad you're with us. I've told you again and again, we have one of the smartest, if not the smartest, audience, listeners, listening friends in the United States of America and the world. You guys are great at helping me. I help you, you help me. It's a team effort here. You teach me, I teach you, I share information with you, you share information with me, and together we're getting it done. And one of you sharp listeners today texted me something, and we're probably going to be one of the first outlets to announce this. Something we've been talking about for years, and that is the coming of a North American Union. The merging of America, Canada, and Mexico, right? Remember all the interviews I did with Phyllis Schlafly on that? Well, Leo Holman will join us here at about 1:14 Central. I sent this to him. I said, Leo, start going through this. This fits with what you and I have been talking about for years, the North American Union. We are going to show you an announcement, a declaration of a North American Union by Canada. Canada has on their website, they have announced Declaration of North America. There was a meeting recently that took place between the occupant of the White House, the Prime Minister of Canada, the President of Mexico, and they are moving quickly toward North American Union. Very interesting, while we're also watching our banking collapse. I brought you last week, and now I see other folks are picking it up. I'm glad we can do the show prep for so many shows. By the way, I also noticed we interview people, and then within a day or so, they're interviewing the same people on the same topic. So I'm glad we can do the show prep for people who either don't have someone to do it for them, or their producers are just looking to make their job easier. I'm glad the truth is getting out there, but it's very interesting to watch the shows who never have any interest in my guest or topics until they start watching our show, and all of a sudden, now it's regular. The regular pattern, within a day or 48 hours of what I talk about and who I interview, they're caring. One person just texted me the other day and said, it's like clockwork, one show. Whatever you say, the next day they say almost identical. So it's like a transcript. So I'm glad we can do show prep for a lot of the other shows out there. But I think we'll be one of the first to show you this, a North American Union. But before we get to that, a couple things. Yesterday, we had a mini grand piano sitting where this studio desk is right now. Brand new, beautiful mini grand piano. And we did the first recording for a new show we'll be launching here. I don't know what we're going to call it yet, and I don't know when we'll be launching it yet because it's high-quality production, and we're not going to release it before we're done with all the post-production to make it really quality. But it will be a show where I tell the story behind, I think I've told you this, but yesterday we actually filmed the first one, tell the story behind hymns you know and love, and then actually sing those hymns. And yesterday was the first day we put this mini grand, this black mini grand piano where this news desk is, and this pianist that I've never met, never worked with, came in to the studio with our engineer who mixes and produces all my CDs and stuff. And he's the one that introduced me to her. And you never know how it's going to go. But within an hour, it was like we had worked together for 20 years. That's because she's really good. She's around my age, and so she's done this a while and worked with a lot of singers, and she's just fabulous. And just the how we did the arrangements, we would run through the number two or three times and say, hey, let's do it this way, let's add this. I mean, you guys are going to love it. It turned out beautifully. The first songs, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, He Touched Me, Great Is Thy Faithfulness, a few others, just turned out really well. So we're looking forward to launching that. Why? Because in this day and age, people need hope. They need encouragement, and very few people do the hymns anymore, do they? Very few people do those. And you, I guess you have to go back to programs from the 70s and 80s and maybe 90s, right? And maybe it's time for a show in 2023 that's 4K camera, high quality, and as best quality as we can get, because I don't think many shows are doing this anymore. So we look forward to introducing that to you. But that was fun. 4 hours of that yesterday before we went live last night with our class. Now, before Leo comes on here and we show you this declaration from a Canadian website about the Declaration of a North American Union, I want to share with you an article. Here is an article from The Telegraph. This was from Saturday, so just 2 days ago. Was that the 14th? January 14th, 2023. Here was the headline. Young sacrifice belief in God on altar of Satanism. That's the headline. Young, meaning young people, sacrifice belief in God on altar of Satanism. Subtitled, with our rituals, there's never any murder, there's never any sacrifice, there's never any blood rites to Satan, we don't worship the devil, we don't cast magic spells, end quote. That's what they say. This is supposedly the chaplain who co-runs the Global Order of Satan UK. Now, they can tell you all they want to tell you, folks, but Satanism eventually spirals downward, and you're into stuff that you don't even want to talk about. And this is, of course, how they introduce young people to it. And this occultism is rapidly, rapidly growing. We've been telling you for years about the growth of the Wicca religion, one of the fastest growing religious, if you will, quote, religious movements in the world is the Wicca religion, the worship of nature, occultism. And again, this is what the Bible says in Romans 1, that when God gives over a people or a nation, they worship nature rather than the Creator who's blessed forevermore. The article says, in fact, as Global Order of Satan UK, as well as other leaders and members of satanic groups around the world, insist it would be difficult to spot a Satanist walking down the street. Yet while the occult rituals, virgin sacrifices, chalices of blood, and belief in the actual devil are a thing of the past, Satanism is luring increasing numbers of young people delusioned with outdated and dogmatic traditional religions to join its fold by offering an alternative to stuffy traditional faiths. Now, that right there, that paragraph there, could be a whole program. Now, they want you to believe, folks, that you can be involved in the occult. You can be involved in Satanism without any worship of Satan. You don't even have to believe in the devil, but you can be involved in Satanism. Now, isn't this a perfect lie of Satan? It's just simply about getting rid of traditional dogmatic religions and stuffy traditional faiths. That's all it's about. Young people, some of them say, well, look, I don't want to be involved in Satanism. I'm not interested in blood sacrifices and, you know, occult rituals. Oh, no, you can be involved in Satanism. That's what we call it, but we don't really believe in the devil. All we're really doing is telling you you're free to do what you want to do. In other words, it's postmodernism repackaged as Satanism without all the gory Satan stuff. Now, isn't that a great marketing tool? Because where do you think this ultimately leads? Of course it leads to the worship of Satan, whether they know it or not. Because at the end of the day, you're in one of two camps. The book of John makes it very clear you're either in the camp of God or you're in the camp of Satan. That's all there is. But notice again, Satanism now is being promoted as the alternative to the dogmatic traditional religions. Well, by dogmatic, they mean a religion that is based on set doctrines or teachings. One that believes in absolute truth, has a theology, a view of God, a doctrine, a teaching. We can't have that. You got to be able to pick and choose whatever you want, whatever feels good for you, whatever feels right in your heart. Very appealing to a postmodern world. The Sunday Telegraph has spoken to leaders and members of satanic groups around the world who claim that the opportunities Satanism offers people to engage in activism and campaign on issues such as gender and sexuality is part of the appeal. Yeah. For the younger members, particularly those who are increasingly less likely to declare themselves as Christians. Chaplain Linnebold, a 32-year-old London-based undertaker. Well, of course, he's a Satanist and an undertaker. Why not? Co-runs the Global Order of Satan UK, which he has said has seen a 200% increase in membership over the last 5 years. As he stands there with, in this picture with a hexagram, he says, quote, "This is particularly amongst younger people who don't want to be identified as part of a prescriptive dogmatic religion and rather want to identify as their own self-beliefs and self-realization, which is what Satanism offers. So we often say that we're sort of the religion for those who don't like the oppression of previous religions," end quote. Well, there you go. His comments come as Christianity battles to appeal to younger generations, remains divided on the issues of gay marriage, blah, 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 blah. So I'm sharing this with you to show you, look, Satan is repackaging his religious beliefs or religious system to appeal as very benign as an alternative to the extremism of Christianity or absolute truth. At a time, of course, when the Wicca religion, the worship of nature, is really taking off. Very interesting. Now, this fits with something I talked about last night on the Worldview Weekend Hour, live each Sunday night, as we've been hosting that service since 2015 at 8 p.m. Central Time, Sunday night live at wvwtv.com/live, wvwtv.com/live, and I host that every Sunday night. And we just finished up last night a series called The Convergence of End Time Events. It was 5 one-hour classes. And if you want to see them, they're on demand at wvwtv.com now. You can watch them on demand. wvwtv.com. One of the things we talked about last night is the rise of apostasy. That's one of the convergence of events, this incredible rise of apostasy. Apostasy being the falling away from traditionally held biblical beliefs. Look at this headline from the Washington Times. Americans' confidence in the Bible's veracity is at an all-time low. That's what Gallup Inc. reported on Wednesday. And that would have been last Wednesday, or July 6, 2022. With just 20% professing a belief that the religious book is the literal word of God, all right? So only 20% of Americans believe the Bible is the literal word of God. 80%, if the poll is accurate, 80% of Americans do not believe the Bible is the literal word of God. And we wonder why America is going down. Even our least religious founding fathers, Adams, Jefferson, Franklin, said that when the general principles of Christianity are overthrown, America will come crumbling down. Well, the article says for the first time, more Americans are scripture doubters than they are believers. Gallup noted that 29% of those surveyed said the Bible is comprised of, quote, fables, legends, history, and moral precepts recorded by man, end quote. So the Bible's just fables and history, legends. Gallup said 49% of those responding took the view that the Bible is, quote, inspired by God, but that not all of the book is to, quote, be taken literally. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Before we go to Leo, let me finish this up. So Gallup said 49% of those responding, 49% of those responding, that'd be Americans, took the view the Bible is, quote, inspired by God, end quote, but not all of the book is to, quote, be taken literally, end quote. So what part do you take literally? Apparently, whatever you want to. It's a smorgasbord. You just, whatever you feel is to be taken literally, that's what you take literally. Otherwise, we just allegorize it away or spiritualize it away or metaphor it away. That's a metaphor. Now, there are parts of the Bible we don't take literally. God is not a bird. He will shelter you under his wings. God's not a bird, right? God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So what we do there is we take the Bible, and we use the Bible to confirm and interpret the Bible, right? So we know that if the Bible describes God as a spirit, then he doesn't have a physical being. Therefore, he doesn't have wings. He's not a bird, right? So we can tell when the Bible is using literal language versus maybe a metaphor. That's why, again, we understand the tool or the principles of hermeneutics, how we study the Bible, right? So we know when to take the Bible literally. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Literal language here. 6 24-hour day. The day being used even denotes a 24-hour day, just as it does, as it talks about Noah being in the belly of the fish, or Christ being in the earth and being resurrected on the third day. The same word, yom, being used to describe a day. We can use these same hermeneutical tools to know, oh, this is literal. Now, there are things that are in the Bible that are, because, again, of context and time and who it's to, we don't do today literally. For instance, we don't stone rebellious children. We don't stone those caught in adultery. We don't stone people involved in witchcraft. Now, in the Old Testament, you could stone people. There were certain things that could get you capital punishment or stoned. Now, how often those things were carried out, there is debate among theologians. How often people were actually stoned for certain things. Now, we know they wanted to come along and stone certain people. We see that in the Bible. We know that, of course, Christians would get stoned, or those were followers of God, more accurately, in the Old Testament. But again, there are things that we don't take literal today because they weren't prescribed to us. What is described is not necessarily what is prescribed. Let me say that again. What is described is not necessarily that which is prescribed. It's not to us, the church. Ecclesia, called out, the New Testament, Acts, the beginning of the church, day of Pentecost. It was to the Old Testament. So we know how to look at a passage. Who's writing it? Who are they writing it to? What's the time frame? Is it being described or is it being prescribed? To us, not prescribed to us, the church, to go around stoning people. So yes, we know how to take it literal and when not to take it literal. What Americans do today is not anything what I just described, using the context, scripture to interpret scripture, scripture to confirm scripture, or the tools of hermeneutics. No, today it's only meant to be taken literally where you feel it's legit. Look at this one. YouGov. This is a recent YouGov poll. The headline, startling poll reveals nearly 90% of Americans believe in at least one New Age belief. Now, my first little booklet in 1990 was on the New Age movement. 1990. I've been warning about the rise of the cosmic humanism or New Age movement since 1990. It said a recent YouGov poll revealed that nearly 9 out of 10 Americans, folks, that's 87% of Americans, ascribe to some sort of New Age belief. The poll was conducted online amongst 1,000 American adults last summer, August 18th to August 22nd, 2022. The poll surveyed the respondents' views on 20, quote, New Age spiritualism, end quote, beliefs, such as meditation, tarot cards, karma, reincarnation, and telepathy. Now listen, karma, K came out on top, with 55% of respondents stating they believed in karma. What is karma? The idea your good deeds will outweigh your bad deeds, and you'll go into a higher elevation on the reincarnation process. In America, it's always going up, never down. Over in India, yeah, they go down. That's why they don't, they believe that you can definitely go down on the reincarnation ladder. That's why they don't kill the rats that eat the grain. That's why they don't want to eat all the cattle, because again, they might be eating an ancestor. I'm not joking with you, okay? Their paganism has created serious starvation issues and sanitary issues over there. Because they actually teach the idea of going downward. In America, of course, everybody's got nobody can judge, so everybody's going up, right? So everybody's going up in the reincarnation. Your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. You're going up in the reincarnation status. Now, let's not forget, as documented by Dr. Erwin Lutzer in his book, Hitler's Cross, the head of the SS, Himmler, was big into Hinduism, big into Buddhism, Eastern mysticism, and taught the SS troops they were doing the Jews a favor when they murdered them because of the reincarnation process. They were able to get on with it and come back as something better. So it's very dangerous when these ideas about life and the lack of sanctity of life become common, and such bad things can be justified through karma. Well, yeah, we don't like murder, but it's the karma. So karma now, or reincarnation, is apparently the top number one belief of Americans, with 55% of Americans believing in the idea of karma. 41% believed in hypnosis. Okay, that's hypnosis. That's self-hypnosis, breathing exercises, and meditation till you empty your mind and enter the spiritual realm and the natural world dissolves. Hypnosis. There are many ways to be involved in self-hypnosis. And that's where you most commonly meet a demon. Huh. And we just saw the rise of Satanism and Wicca religion. Huh. Yeah. Marilyn Ferguson and many others openly have described that the most powerful way to meet a spirit or master guide, individuals, by the way, they think are more highly evolved through the process of reincarnation, karma. So here we have the number one thing Americans believe, 55%, is karma, reincarnation. Well, what are these spirit entities they're encountering? People who are going through the process of reincarnation and are now a spirit or master guide. That's what they told. We know they're not. Pointed every man to die once and then face the judgment. It's demons they're talking to. But Americans, after they believe in meditation, after they believe in karma and reincarnation, the next thing they're believing in the most is hypnosis. Well, what do you meet when you go through an altered state of consciousness or hypnosis? Whether it's through drugs or transcendental meditation, the New Agers have said for decades and decades, the most common way to meet a spirit or master guide is through drugs or hypnosis. So now more Americans are encountering demons. Let me tell you something, folks. Demon possession, demon activity is drastically increasing on the earth. Whether you know it or not, it is. And as we approach the end times, it will increase even more. And now the studies and surveys are showing that we have every reason to believe demonic activity is increasing. When people believe in spirit or master guides through reincarnation and karma, and then the next thing after that is hypnosis. Well, if you're entering hypnosis and you encounter an entity that starts talking to you in the silence, what would you think? Ah, this must be a spirit or master guide. Because I believe in reincarnation, I believe in karma. And obviously, part of the karma reincarnation process are people going to the spiritual realm and become a spirit or master guide. And so if the second most common practice or belief among Americans today is hypnosis, then they're going to readily accept the idea they could have a spirit or master guide. But they're talking to a demon, just like Alice Bailey did, who wrote over 10,000 pages with a demon and went on to promote the idea of the world group of world servers, which, of course, impacted Robert Mueller at the United Nations and the UN prayer room. And you have FDR's wife, Eleanor Roosevelt praying the prayer by Alice Bailey and her demon over the radio. We have the audio of it from the 50s. We've played it. Or was that the 50s? Whatever the date was, we have it. So no wonder we're seeing the rise of occultism. And of course, occultism is just fine. You can do whatever you want, believe whatever you want, just don't believe Christianity. Finally, before we go to Leo, look at this. Cultural Research Center, Arizona Christian University, November 1st, last fall, 2022. As the nation continues to fight for a set of values and morals that will define its future, a new study from the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University notes that 7 out of 10 adults, 71%, claim to support traditional moral values in America today. However, the same survey highlights significant transitions in the public perception of the Bible's role in defining traditional moral values. In fact, slightly less than half of all adults who said they support traditional moral values also embrace biblical morality as one of their core values. Rather than pointing to the Bible as the best source of morality, 42% say that, quote, what you feel in your heart, end quote, is the surest moral guide for life. What you feel in your heart. Well, this fits right with what we were talking about earlier. We have 49% of Americans say the Bible is not really the inspired word of God. It might be somewhat inspired, but it's not to be taken literal. Well, how do you know what to take literal? Well, we just found out what you feel in your heart. Whatever you feel in your heart. That's postmodernism. Truth and reality are created by man, not by God. It's how you feel about it. Well, I feel. So yes, there's a moral collapse. There's the rise of occultism. There's a rise of occultic practices. Reincarnation karma, number one. Number two, hypnosis. Up, that's where you meet demons. But they call them spirit or master guides that are reincarnated. Americans are being set up. So don't be shocked when we see demonic activity on the rise, demonic ideas on the rise at your local, state, federal level, and the most hideous of crimes. Because I'm here to tell you, demonic activity is drastically increasing. Satanism is increasing. They're seeing their best numbers, 200% increase in 5 years. Oh, but we're not really worshiping Satan. Yeah, that's a lie from the father of lies. So when you watch the news, you see these things, you think, what is going on? I can tell you, in large part, it's Satanism. It's occultism. Absolutely. And some of the biggest leaders in the world and in America are following occultism. We already know many of them read Alice Bailey. They love Alice Bailey. They love the UN, which embraced the occultism and demonic teaching of Alice Bailey. So should you be shocked? And if they don't openly tell you about their love of Alice Bailey, they tell you about their love of Lenin, with Klaus Schwab sitting there with a bust of Lenin, mass murderer Lenin, behind him. When we come back, Leo Homan wrote a book called Stealth Invasion. And we look at this invasion in America and we say, well, of course they're doing this. They don't want borders. They want a North American Union. Oh, you guys are crazy over there. Well, we're about to show you a document from a Canadian website where the Canadian government is announcing this year the North American Union. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. And don't forget, we have some resources available for you. If you want to check out our resource page, wvwtvstore.com, wvwtvstore.com. We also have over here at wvwtv.com/live, wvwtv.com/live. We have shows over there that include, well, we're airing right now there. And then, of course, we have the Worldview Report that airs there. We loop a lot of our shows at wvwtv.com/live. So if you didn't catch them live, you can catch them there. And we have a new show over at WVWTV. If you go to wvwtv.com on demand at wvwtv.com, you'll find we have a brand new show by Annie Cyrus we carry. We have a brand new show by Patrick Wood on transhumanism. We have a brand new show by Dr. Rob Linstead, all on demand for you to pick up and watch. We have a new show starting tomorrow with Trevor Loudon that he'll be hosting. So again, a lot of things on demand over there for you. Joining me now is Leo Holman. Leo, welcome back to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, Brandon. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. All right, so just before we went on the air, one of our listeners sent me this, and I sent it on to you. And here it is. January 10th, 2023. Declaration of North America. Look at that, folks. That's right there. That's a government website. Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau. Okay, this is the Canadian website. Here's what it reads. Today, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, President Andrea Manuel Lopez Obrador, and President Joseph R. Biden met in Mexico City for the 10th North American Leaders Summit. The leaders are determined to fortify our region's security, prosperity, sustainability, and inclusiveness through commitments across six pillars. One, diversity, equality, and inclusion. Can you say perverts? Two, climate change and the environment. Can you say green agenda, get ready to starve? Three, competitiveness. Four, migration and development, i.e. no border. Five, health. That's going to be active euthanasia, socialized medicine. And six, regional security. North America shares a unique history, blah, 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 blah. So they go on there and they talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion. They, interesting word they use here. The Trilateral Working Group on Violence Against Indigenous Women and Girls. They use the word trilateral. I thought that was a conspiracy term. They go on to talk about this one I want to get to. Migration and development. Today marks the six-month anniversary of the Los Angeles Declaration on Migration and Protection, a bold new framework for regional responsibility sharing that 21 leaders endorsed on the margins of the ninth summit of the Americans. The three countries of North America each made ambitious commitments under the Los Angeles Declaration, particularly regarding regular pathways, including work together to advance labor mobility. Labor mobility, Leo, in North America, and have been developing on these commitments. Labor mobility, that's what we're seeing right now. I asked Todd Bensman the other day when he was showing us all this video footage that he just returned from Mexico with, of these people jumping the trains, tens and tens of thousands coming by train. They jump on the flatbed trains and ride them up to the border deep from down in North America. And I said, what are these healthy young guys coming here for? You get on welfare? He said, oh, no, no. Most of these are skilled workers. They're good workers. They're coming there because they can work in America, send the money back to Mexico, and they're building mansions. I said, what? He said, yeah, they build these huge houses made of concrete. And these are very skilled laborers, and many of the Mexicans are. And they send this money that goes so far down in Mexico. They send the American dollars. It goes so far. And they build these humongous mansions. And if they can stay up in America for a few years making this money and sending it back home, then they go back home to their big mansion. But I guess this is what we call now labor mobility, Leo.
Absolutely, Brandon. One of the points I tried to drive home in my book, Stealth Invasion, that this whole open borders scenario that has been going on for the last 30 to 35 years, it's really corporate driven. It's not government driven. These corporations have been working hand in glove with the government and with the NGOs, you know, Catholic Charities, Lutheran Social Services, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. There's about nine of these NGOs that contract with the government to resettle refugees into cities across the United States, small, medium, and large cities. And what they're essentially doing, Brannon, is running a human trafficking organization, but it also doubles as a job placement organization, a job placement program for the corporations. In chapter 8 in my book is where I really start to delve into individual case scenarios of City A, City B, City C, and I name these cities across the United States that have been demographically transformed by refugee resettlement. And at the heart of each one of those transformations in every one of these cities and towns, you will find a company, a corporation in Owatonna, Minnesota, for instance. They had the Amesbury Truth Window Manufacturing Company, totally transformed the little town. In Shelbyville, Tennessee, they had Tyson Meatpacking Plant, completely transformed the town. In Twin Falls, Idaho, they have the Chobani Yogurt Company with the world's largest yogurt manufacturer, bringing in Muslim refugees to transform that town. Spartanburg, South Carolina, Dearborn, Michigan, you can go right down the list. Cities in small, like Dodge City, Kansas was another one. Every state has these cities that have been transformed over the last 20 to 30 years. It takes about 10 years to transform a city from mostly Christian, Judeo-Christian-based social structure to an Islamic-based value system. The ones that are in the most advanced stage of this are cities like Hamtramck, which now have an all-Muslim city council, a Muslim mayor, and what did they do last week? They legalized animal sacrifices so that the Muslim holiday could be honored. They have a specific holiday one day a year where they slaughter their goats, and it's part of a ritual, ritualistic ceremony of Islam. And what other city in America do we know where you can butcher an animal out in public or outside the mosque and for it to be totally legal? And then they consume it. I mean, this is the type of thing that we have to look forward to, along with, you know, honor killings and child brides and all the rest of it. And it's all the fault of our government working with these corporations to run this job placement program where they need X number of employees over here. And so they go and recruit them through the United Nations refugee program, where they're sitting in these refugee camps in Somalia and several other places around the world. And they simply relocate them to the West, where the job, where the worker bees are needed.
Well, and look at this. Jim Schneider just emailed me this. And for those, again, who don't know, Jim Schneider is the host of Crosstalk. Comes on right after this show at 2 o'clock Central on 100 stations, the original Christian talk program since the 1970s. If you don't have their app, you're not aware of their Roku channel, you should check it out. They have great Christian, real Christian programming, not the trash and junk you hear on so-called Christian stations today. Okay, this is real biblical Christian programming. At VCY America. I've been working with them for over 25 years. Over 25 years I've been working with them. And so you ought to check them out at vcyamerica.org. vcyamerica.org. I know I've gotten texts and emails and letters from people saying, thank you for introducing us to VCY. You guys love the music, Music Till Dawn, just beautiful music. Real, you know, God-honoring music. Real talent. Not what we have today. People screaming and calling it music. So vcyamerica.org. But the host of Crosstalk, Jim Schneider, just emailed me this. Look at this. This same declaration is right there on the White House website. So it's not just the Canadian website now, folks. The White House website as well.
And it's probably on the Mexican website as well.
Sure it is, but I don't read Spanish.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Now, what I find interesting about this is, don't forget, we had a letter that Matt Gaetz, the congressman from Florida, put out in October to the Secretary of State Blinken saying, I heard about these backroom deals you guys are making. Well, here it is. They're admitting it was going on now. Look at this one here, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Now, as you read this, let me tell you, folks, without reading the two paragraphs, what they're going to do is push the LGBTQ agenda. They say it. Expand protections for LGBTQI+. Okay? Individuals, and deliver more equitable outcomes to all. So they're going to start criminalizing those of us that speak the truth about this agenda, which the cultural Marxists do not care about the LGBTQ folks. They're cannon fodder for the revolution. They're just looking to say, how can we set up the Christians, the conservatives, people of faith? How can we set them up? Well, let's use the LGBTQ group to do it. So that when you criticize the LGBTQ agenda, we can label them as intolerant, hate speech. Then we can criminalize conservative talk TV, conservative Christian radio. We can't really come out in the full front and say, you know what, we're just going to criminalize those Christians because we hate them, we hate their God, we hate the salvation message they preach, exclusivity of Christ, we hate that. So we're going to criminalize Christianity. We can't do that. That's a full frontal assault. So let's do it,
Brandon,
a different way.
Brandon, what you just laid out applies perfectly also to the influx of Muslim refugees.
Yes.
If you go to that chapter 8 in my book where I lay out the scenario that took place in Owatonna, Minnesota, that's exactly what happened. They flooded the town with refugees from Somalia. Then when these refugees started completely changing the fabric social structure of the town, okay, you had all of these things going on in the town that the people who lived in Owatonna for generations were taken aback by, you know, women walking around in burqas, violence against women, all of these things that we find, off-putting. Then they would complain about it and say, why are you bringing all these people into our town? And then they brought in their left-wing thought leaders, often from outside of the town, to then come into the meetings, the public meetings, and accuse these people of being what? Xenophobic, Islamophobic, haters, and all the rest.
So they're putting together their coalition of victims that I warned you about in my book, Marxianity. The LGBTQ, the Islamists, the immigrants, the poor, quote poor, put quotes around poor, because what we call the poor today, according to the surveys, many people would love to be poor according to these standards. They have houses, they have cars, they have AC, they have cable, but we call them the poor, okay? So put quotes around that. I've done whole shows on that. But if you take these people and you say, who is oppressing you? The Christians, it's the capitalists. Now we come back, we'll look more into this North American Union that's forming. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, website worldviewradio.com. My guest, Leo Homan, his website, leohoman.com. leohoman.com. We're going to have to move quickly. No calls today because this is breaking news today. We found it through our listener that Canada has this. Jim Schneider of Crosstalk just showed us that this is on the White House website as well. Same statement, announcing a North American Union, something that we were talking about last week, actually, on the show. And that's something that Phyllis Schlafly and I talked about for 20-plus years. Leo, so many of us have been telling you about this, and yet we're criticized. We're called names. I did an interview last week with Bill Jasper of The New American on this. You'll find that at WVWTV.com archived. So we have diversity, equity, and inclusion. So that's going to be the LGBT agenda. So look out. In Canada right now, you can't talk about these issues on the air. You can be prosecuted, fined, go to jail, lose your license. That's coming to America, I'm afraid. Climate change and environment. They go on to say that they're going to work under the Paris Agreement, and they have the goals of 2030. So they're fully on board with the sustainability agenda of the UN 2030. And then they want to go on to deal with renewable energy, and they want to work with developing clean energy solutions, increasing the production and adoption of zero-emission vehicles in North America and transitioning to cleaner fuels. They talk about batteries, developing hydrogen, as well as regional sources of energy. They mentioned batteries in here as well. I just saw it somewhere. So they're going to push that idea as well. Want to comment quickly on that, Leo?
There's a huge Chinese-owned battery plant that recently announced it's going to be building in northern Michigan. Yeah, batteries. Because the plan is to convert all of our cars that we drive in this country to electric vehicles, which can be easily shut down remotely. And that's why they also have recently come out and said they're against gas stoves. They want us all to convert to electric stoves and be on the grid. Why? Because that can be monitored through the smart meter on your house and shut down at any moment of their choosing. If you have overstepped your allotted carbon footprint for the month, they can shut down your electric car. They can shut down your your electric stove. That's why they don't want you to have a gas stove, because it's more difficult to control. And so it's all coming together. We have the whole plan. We know what they're up to. All of this language in this document that you're reading from, Brandon, is straight out of the United Nations Agenda 21 documents. It's none of this is original. It's all mimicking the Agenda 21 17 sustainability goals. And when you go down to the section on health, oh boy, that one is really full of...
All right, let's get to that. But first, let's go to competitiveness, because under competitiveness is where I found electric vehicle battery, okay? So they're going to try to forge stronger regional supply chains and then promote targeted investment in key industries for the future, such as semiconductors and electric vehicle batteries. We'll convene public-private dialogue. So they're agreeing the three nations are going to produce corporate fascism, the public-private Klaus Schwab agenda, okay?
And isn't it interesting, Brandon, how this document has had no coverage whatsoever in the mainstream corporate mockingbird media?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham will cover this tonight. Yes. No, they wouldn't understand it. They have no clue. I bet you could say Agenda 2030, sustainable development to them, and they'd have no clue what you're talking about. Communitarianism, they wouldn't know what you're talking about.
That's why they've been promoted to where they are. They're easily manipulated because they're stupid.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I have a friend of mine who, well, I'll tell the story later. Here we go. Migration and development. All right. So we talked about that one. Let's go to the one under health. What did you find under here, Leo?
Yeah, there's some real nugget here that I think most people, it might slide over their head. So I want to call attention to it. It says, as we emerge about halfway through it, it says, as we emerge from the acute phase of the COVID-19 pandemic, we also recognize that resilient health systems, including a strong health workforce, are the foundation upon which effective pandemic preparedness and response will be built. Okay, they're picking up here on this United Nations World Health Organization pandemic treaty language, which when they talk about including a strong health workforce, they are talking right there. That is a lightly shrouded reference to vaccine passports, which the G20, as you recall, just came out of a meeting in November or December of last year. I think it was November, where they came out of that meeting with a document saying that we will all cooperate. We, the 20 biggest economies in the world, will all work towards the implementation of vaccine passports in the coming year. And so that's what they're talking about when they allude to a strong health workforce. We're going to make sure that you aren't allowed to work unless you can show proof that you've been vaccinated.
Well, look at this. I agree 100%. They start out with trilateral health cooperation. We'll focus on launching an updated North American plan for animal and pandemic influenza. Okay, so it sounds like to me they're preparing for the next pandemic.
Well, yeah. I mean, in the article, that the most recent article I have on my site, it talks about the Davos elites and a recent survey of 1,200 Davos elites, and they all talked about a coming war, economic collapse, and a new viral pandemic. That was what they said that the world needs to prepare for.
They also talk under security. They're concerned about trafficking of firearms. No, I think wasn't the Obama administration the one trafficking in firearms? I think what they're worried about is firearms in general. But they're going to agree to use it trafficking of firearms.
And that right there, Brandon, is a reference to the UN Small Arms Treaty.
Yes, it is.
All of this is straight out of the United Nations. It's amazing.
They talk about also dealing with extremism in here. And so, that would be you and I. So they're going to work, crack down on hate crime laws and all kinds of things. And it's not good. But here we are, Canada and the United States today, as of January 10th, both nations. There's the one from the White House, Jim Schneider showed us. And then here's the one from Canada. Both dated January 10th. We're headed toward a North American union. But again, don't expect your corporate media to warn you about this. They're going to still tell you this is conspiracy talk. But here it is. LeoHolman.com. Thank you, Leo.
Thank you so much, Brandon.
LeoHolman.com. We'll have this at WVWTV.com in the next couple hours for you to share with others. Stay tuned for Crosstalk with Jim Schneider. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brandon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.